Well, and the fanboy on me also, it's a story that never was finished.
All right, how's it going?
Hello.
Yeah, hey guys. Good to see you.
Yeah, so we got some follow-up, of course, on Apple Car. Again, every week, Apple Car follow-up, because it's a product that's not going to be out forever, so every week somebody decides to come up with something, and then the next week it's contradicted. So this week was Apple Car was supposedly in talks with Nissan, and amongst like all the other car companies, and it was brief talks, but it didn't advance past senior management, and it seemed that Nissan and Apple couldn't agree over branding decisions. So my guess is Nissan was like, oh yeah, it's going to be like Apple Car by Nissan, right? And Apple's like, bye.
Got to protect that brand.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess, you know, car industry hasn't caught on that Apple doesn't share the glory with the manufacturers. They share the money, but that's about it. The next thing is in the same article, I think both of these were on 9to5 Mac, but VW CEO came out and had a statement about Apple entering the car market. And it was a similar statement to Palm CEO when they came out with the iPhone, saying like, oh, they're not just going to walk in here and learn how to make a phone and da da da. But to be fair, I mean, I don't know. To be fair, it's not the same, because a car isn't the same as a phone, where a phone is mainly a computer and a car is mainly not a computer.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So, the CEO said that it was logical that Apple, would enter the car market, and, I guess wasn't really like saying that they would do bad, because he was saying that they have experience in battery software design and they have the money to put behind any of their initiatives. So if they want to do it, you know, they could probably buy their way into it. But like I said a second ago, he said he wasn't afraid because cars aren't the typical tech sector. But I thought it was interesting because it was very, very similar to the Palm quote that is infamous now, since the iPhone is like the most popular phone in the world. Not the most market share, but the most popular. So yeah, that's this week's Apple Car rumors. So stay tuned to see what we have next week.
It'll all just be refuted and Tim Cook will come out, we were just kidding. We were never going to do a car.
Yeah, it's Apple Matchbox car.
Yeah, exactly. Ah, oh, darn it.
Hot Wheels.
Yeah, it's like a digital track for the Hot Wheels.
Yeah, it's just an AR like track using your iPhone and LiDAR.
Exactly.
So, just a Mac Mini with wheels.
Yeah. Well, they already have. Yeah, they've got the Mac Pro with wheels. $400 for the wheels.
We should just make this commercial, like where it's just a joke. It's like we just strap some wheels to a Mac Mini and roll it down a hill.
I don't have that much money. So moving on, Adam, you've got some follow-up on Super Mario World 3D / Bowser's Fury.
Yeah, just kind of going through the game right now with family, actually, which is actually kind of cool. But it's pretty much the same thing as what was on the Wii U. There's really not a whole lot of touch-ups on there. It's nice to see the game running on the Switch and having it on the screen with everybody and taking it on the go. That's been really nice. Have not made it to Bowser's Fury just yet. We're like on World 6, so we're pretty close. Granted, you do have the option to go ahead and jump straight into Bowser's Fury if you don't want to do the 3D world, but we're kind of traditional.
Can I ask you a question about that? So I picked up the game too, actually today, and I played through the first world. And I noticed that, like, when you start the game, you can either play the original Super Mario 3D World or you can select Bowser's Fury. And I almost just selected Bowser's Fury because I thought, like, oh, this one's the one with like more content or something. But what is Bowser's Fury exactly? Because I was confused on what it is versus the original game.
That is the extended story. That's the new part that was not on the Wii U edition. That is all new. So basically, I guess Bowser goes rampage crazy, and I'm assuming because Bowser Jr. is your buddy that helps you out through it, I think he's trying to calm him down and kind of get his dad back situation. But it's two players, though. It's not four players.
Right. So it's an expansion to the original game. It's not like, and it's not the original game plus content. It's the actual like expansion story for it, I guess.
Yeah, because I guess that's what explains, you know, getting the Giga Cat suit and stuff like that and becoming giant size is just all the stuff that happens after the game.
Okay, cool.
But first impressions so far is, if you liked the one on the Wii U, definitely pick it up. If you haven't played it yet, it is definitely a short map. Each of the maps are pretty short. They're not long. Some of them are lengthy, but for the most part, they're pretty simple. And playing with two people is probably the best. Playing with four is chaotic. Single player, you know, it's good for single player, but definitely I think two is the best.
Yeah. Like I was saying, I played through the first world today with my mom. We played for like an hour. And two players is really fun. I did play by myself just for a little bit before she joined. And I was kind of disappointed at first. I'm like, this is kind of boring. But then when you, maybe it was because I got to the second like level after that, like the first level was kind of just didn't grab me. But yeah, when the both of us were playing, it was super fun. And I like how after every level, whoever's like has the most points gets like the little king crown and like gets to wear it around through the entire next match. I thought that was pretty fun.
Yeah, and if they get hurt, you can steal it, and it gives you, I think, like 5,000 points at the end of it.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so basically, I would say that's my first impressions on it, but whenever I get through Bowser's Fury, I'd like to come back and let everybody know how that is, because I am very interested in it, and that's the new part.
Very cool.
Cool, yeah. I'm pretty happy with it so far. I like how it's a mix of the like original NES like 2D Mario with a little bit of 3D. So yeah, it's pretty fun. So there was a pretty cool thing that happened today, Ryan.
Yeah, today was a pretty exciting day if you are into space and exploration. And well, just science. Yeah, exactly. Just science in general, if you're into that kind of thing. So last year in July 30th to be exact, the Perseverance rover blasted off and made its way to Mars. The journey was right around 7 months, which is quite insane if you think about it. Quite a long time there. It arrived today and touched down. Everything went great. It was fun. We had our daughter dressed up in her little NASA outfit, and she was pretending.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, she got really into it. She was pretending that she was landing and like walking around Mars, like you know, like the little cartoony, like slowly walking because of like the gravity and stuff. It was funny.
So a quick question on that. You said it was 7 months. Was that travel time included or?
Yeah, so it blasted off July 30th, and like today was touchdown.
Right. So did they ever say how long it takes? I mean, I know it's something I should probably know, how long it takes from Earth to Mars.
Yeah, I mean, that's basically what it is. I think it depends on, because I think they're trying to get it down to like 4 months or something for humans. Something like that.
Yeah, I had always, I don't know, for some reason, 9 months is sticking in my head. But I think the two things that probably make the biggest difference is, of course, the speed of the craft. But even more than that, probably where in each planet's orbit each is because if they're at I forget the science terms, but if they're like at the farthest points away from each other, of course it's going to take a lot longer. So if we're all like closer in the rotation of the solar system, you can cut it down on that way.
Yeah. Plus it's not like a perfect circle, right? Like the orbit.
Yeah. So, ellipses. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. So I'm assuming it's like when it leaves that, and they probably timed it right so that it was a specific time when it was leaving. But yeah, it's really cool. Just, I like this kind of stuff. I remember way back when Curiosity? What was the one way back when? Pathfinder. That's what it was. Thank you, Google. This is not an advertisement for Google. Yeah, so ever since then, like, you know, I think, you know, I was in junior high or something when that landed. I've always liked this exploration of Mars and stuff. I guess it's kind of our generation's moon landing and that kind of thing, which is cool. But one thing I really liked is just this mission is kind of like that really leap forward in some of the stuff that it's going to be doing. So there's like four main scientific goals that they have on the website for the mission, which we'll put
reduce, reuse, recycle.
Yep, that's it. That's what they're going to do. We're going to start a recycling program on Mars immediately.
No, step four.
Yep, exactly. Repeat is step four. we'll put this in the show notes. But so the main goals are looking for habitability. So looking for past environments capable of supporting microbial life. Of course, this is so that hopefully one day we can get humans there and sustainably live there. Seeking biosignatures. So again, that past microbial life, water, that kind of stuff, different types of rocks, and then preserve all of that so that eventually when people go there, we can study it a little more in depth. Caching the samples. So they're actually going to be able to take soil samples. It's funny watching the launch. They kept talking about these tubes that they're basically...
They basically look like little test tubes.
Right. Yeah, but they're like the cleanest environment on Earth is what they kept saying, right? Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they were like... I guess the way that they manufactured them is to be obviously very like sealed tightly.
Sterile.
Yeah, exactly. Sterile. So they can preserve everything. One major thing with anytime we bring stuff back to Earth, it can change a little bit when it, you know, gets here and in transit and when it hits our atmosphere, that kind of thing. And so that way, like
the radiation.
Yeah. Like there's all kinds of different, parameters and things that can mess with like the actual, like dirt and samples that they're, you know, studying. So this way they can have it completely preserved. And then eventually when we get there, study it, a lot better. And then the last is, of course, preparing for humans. One cool thing is it's equipped with like a machine basically to test how we can produce oxygen on Mars. So that's pretty cool. I think they said that Mars is 96% carbon dioxide or something like that. And so it'll be pretty cool to see like how far they can get with that stuff.
Yeah, it's like they have I guess it's kind of like a prototype machine to test turning carbon dioxide into oxygen.
Yeah, exactly.
I thought that was really cool.
So we're like going to terraform it.
Yeah. I mean, xenomorphs.
Yeah. I don't know if we can go that far, but if we aren't careful, we'll just end up mining the thing. Right. So we got to be careful.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, it comes with a DJI drone, right?
Yep. Yep, exactly. It's got a drone on board. It's actually funny. They kept calling it a helicopter, and I'm like, guys, it's a drone. I think most people know what a drone is.
Well, so how many propellers did it have? Were they on the corners? Because I think that's a drone, but then a helicopter is like on the vertical column.
Oh, yeah, they are on the vertical column. Okay, so that, all right. Maybe that's the distinction. Okay.
Actually, it is a helicopter.
Oh, no.
Exactly. Oh man, someone probably, it is NASA, like there's probably like literally a document of why they call it a helicopter, right? Like 20 point essay.
Hydroelectric lift off.
Oh yeah, it's definitely an acronym. It's got to be. But yeah, it's really cool. It's called Ingenuity. I think this is actually one of the coolest parts about this mission, is testing this helicopter drone thing. Because the whole point is it's more of like a test vehicle than anything to see if it's possible to have that in the atmosphere. Because I guess it's really thin, and so creating lift is really difficult on Mars.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that's one thing that they're not 100% sure. Like, hey, is this thing going to do what we want it to? So,
yeah, because I was thinking like with the like lighter gravity, it would be like one of those like little the little flyers that you pull the ripcord on and you pull it and it just like flies away like into a tree. Like, oh, somebody get my drone.
Oops, gone. They're worth $20 billion.
Yeah.
Someone's just going to find that planet covered in our toys.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The Oatmeal had a comic. The Oatmeal is a web comic, if you don't know. I'll put a link in the show notes. But he had like so many just web comics today just devoted to this. Or when we had another rover mission, I think it was on Curiosity, he did a bunch. And he had just like a little smiley face version of Mars. And on top of it, it just had like all kinds of like metal machines and stuff, which were all of our drones. And then apparently like, I don't know what it's at since we landed this time, but it was like less than 50, no, around 50% of all of our like missions to Mars have failed. So,
wow.
Yeah. So I didn't even realize there had been that many, but there's been like 40 and we had like 14 that were successful, somewhere around there. So the contrast to the one image of all of the drones was like a bunch of little like tombstones he had on the next picture. It's pretty funny. Yeah. I'll put it in the chapter art.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah. So the helicopter is essentially kind of like a scout, right? Is the purpose to go ahead of the rover or eventually humans to look for like better paths, that kind of thing. So like a better like driveway so that you're not like, you know, the terrain's pretty rough, obviously. It's Mars. And so like to kind of like plan out more of a good route.
So it's like a little scout for the rover.
Exactly. For the rover. And then eventually for humans, as we start to explore, we'll have that little drone that'll go fly ahead and do its thing. So pretty cool. So there's really like two main pieces. And then there's also the sky crane that actually brought the rover down to the surface, which is really cool. And I love the autonomy of everything. Everything was basically like hands off once it started the entry. And then the sky crane did its thing where it lowered it down.
What is the sky crane exactly? Because I saw that mentioned, but I mean, all I really saw was the capsule like popped and then a parachute came out. Is that it?
Yeah. So it's kind of like, we'll have to link to it so people can see the images, but it's basically just like a lander that has a system to hold the rover on it. And then it has, you know, some jets that can, you know, propel it. And then it essentially comes down and then like it has the parachute. When it loses its chute after it drops it off, it fires up some boosters and flies away to a safer landing place and then just drops down. So it's kind of like the delivery device to actually get to the surface for the rover.
It's not like a traditional crane.
Yeah, it's not, you know. And it's different from like, remember back in the, I think even Curiosity did this where it was like that, almost like a airbag system.
Oh, yeah. Let's just like throw it with some airbags and see if it lands okay. Yeah.
Exactly. Right. This is like, hey, we're going to control the landing of this thing.
Now that I think about it, I think I recall like seeing this before, like what you're talking about, because it like it hovers and then it like tether loads the rover down, right? As it hovers.
Yep.
And then it flies off and crashes somewhere.
Well, you hope it lands somewhere, but yeah.
Not- well, land, crash.
I mean, that thing's going to be there for a while. So, yeah. So, it's cool. I love this kind of stuff. I'll probably never see Mars with my eyes, my feet.
You like, shut you know. Your mouth. I'm going to space.
You're doing it?
Yes. I will It'll sell everything expensive. I have.
Yeah, exactly.
To go to space.
The only chance I have is if they jettison me off when I die. That's what it'll happen. Oh,
can I sign up for that?
I think that should be a thing.
Yeah. Shoot me into space.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only way to be sure.
get the road started for you.
There's a Aliens reference. Adam, did you get to watch it? I watched it today.
I did not. I really wanted to, but I did not get to. It's really neat how... Well, first off, I didn't know we tried that many times and we failed. I had no idea on that.
Yeah, I didn't either. And I'm not sure. I guess I'll have to look on Wikipedia or something, follow up next week or something. But yeah, I don't know what they consider like those attempts, because they're not all rovers. There's no way.
Right.
Yeah. And that's what's beautiful about it, is just the fact that they didn't give up and we're getting there, we're getting samples. There's so much that's actually progressing on it, and it's actually becoming somewhat of a reality.
Yeah, my favorite part of watching it today is watching all the like NASA engineers. Each time like something happens, they do like a small like little yes in a fist pump. I was telling Ryan earlier today, it's like when I'm like writing some code and then like testing it and it works and I'm like, oh, all right, like milestone. And then it's like, oh man, all right, next part.
That's definitely like their Super Bowl. Think about that. I mean, like,
oh yeah, this is super Super Bowl.
Yeah, like, oh man, it's working, we did it.
Yeah. Yeah, and you took like, you know, 7 or 8 years to get up to that point, to where you had to design the flight and everything.
And you can't deflate the ball, Brady.
Oh.
Oh, man.
I think we're still bitter.
You know, and that's the thing, is like there's so many people that just kind of like forgot about NASA. I know that sounds like kind of crazy, but there's people that just don't care about it.
100%. I mean, I think... I don't know if I saw this in a documentary or where, but like after Challenger in the 80s, NASA took a huge public relations hit, and they've been trying to work their image up from there. I mean, you know, they have to fight to get their funding from Congress every year. And so like social media and public relations is a huge part of NASA, so they can keep doing these things that move us forward as a species.
Yeah. But I mean, like there's kids that don't know anything about the Challenger and they don't care. There's a lot of them that don't really know or care about NASA still too. And it's just interesting, I guess, because when we were growing up, you know, that was cool as hell. And you're just hearing about that right now is awesome as hell.
Yeah, and I think that's what I was getting at, is NASA's doing a lot of things to like reach out to those like demographics of like younger kids that didn't grow up with the shuttle program like we did.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, one of the reasons my daughter is into it is because we have an American Girl doll who in 2018, it was the doll of the year. And she was a Mars explorer. Like, that was her thing. That's her story, is that she was training to go to Mars and she was at space camp and like all this stuff. And so that's why she's into it. I'm sure NASA had a hand in that, like, you know, in that marketing of it. And they were like, yeah, let's do this. Let's partner, you know, and you know, they want girls in STEM and that kind of stuff. And it's great, you know. So yeah. This once the shuttle program shut down, like there's been like a lull, right? Like it's just been, and I get it too, because it's been, I think they said 9 years since we've done like a rover. I think it's been 9 years.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, all of these projects take a really long time to develop. So that's, you know, keeping the public enthusiastic about it is difficult. And then I think that like when humans aren't involved, it's easier for people to ignore because it's like, oh, it's just a robot. Like it's not a person going to Mars. Like, you know, I guarantee you if we sent a person to Mars, it would be as big as the moon landing, you know, on every single channel
for sure
while it's happening. Where, I mean, in the like nerdy tech science space, this was on everything. Like my Twitter feed was full of people just tweeting about it, but like my mom wasn't watching it, you know, and my mom was a child of the '60s. Right. So yeah.
Yeah. I think there's definitely something to that. It's like people like us who are into technology, engineering, science, we see this and we go, I totally get it. This is a huge step forward. This is a big feat. Like every time we go up there, it's, you know, taking those steps towards getting someone on the moon or on Mars, right? Just as like the original, you know, sending a dog to space was the step towards the moon. It may not have been as exciting, but you had to do that.
2024 Snoop Dogg in space right now. Calling it.
You can't get any higher than that.
Oh man. Yeah, I mean that, I think that's the cool part about it though, is that it's returning. You know, we're not just making it there. You know, robot's not just landing. It's getting back. You know, it's a full on trip. They're understanding so much more about it. It's cool.
Yep. Very cool. Very exciting day for science and the world, humankind. So, speaking about the current state of the world, movie theaters haven't been doing too good.
No.
No.
Pretty empty.
Not a lot of movies coming out either, or not in the theaters anyway. So, another story that I found really interesting. And creative. I think this is really creative, especially for, like we're saying, the movie theater industry, who's in during this time, you know, on the decline. I think they said that AMC had to get like, you know, multi-million-dollar injection in order to keep going. And so a few theater systems around the U.S., as well as abroad, have started to get creative. Some of them are doing private showings for like, you know, 20 people where you can rent out the whole thing for a couple hundred bucks. But one really inventive, I think, way that theaters are starting to expand is they're allowing gamers to come in and use the theater for them. And depending on where you're at, like you and like three or four other friends can use the entire theater. You have to bring your console and everything, but do some gaming.
So they're playing on the big screen.
That's right, with surround sound, everything. And you know, most theaters are at least 4K projectors too.
Yeah. There's two aspects of this I found interesting. And I think the first one I want to talk about is the experience. So, I mean, this sounds like when I saw this article, when you sent us this article, Ryan, I thought, well, this is pretty cool. You know, this is a good idea. And I would love to go to a theater and play a cinematic game on a projector, you know, like a Hideo Kojima game, like Death Stranding, or, you know, a game I haven't played, but I know a cinematic, Last of Us. I think that would probably be a good title for this. But one big concern that I had when I saw this was like, I don't think you're going to be able to play like any kind of like shooters or like competitive games because of like input latency, right? Because I mean, that's a big old projector. And Adam, I know that you had some like experience with input latency and projectors and stuff in a previous setup. So like, what are your thoughts on that?
So when it comes to high resolution projection and you're doing a theater, normally you do sacrifice latency. You have to find a projector that's, you know, a short throw with low latency. Man, I'm all over. Hang on.
Well, yeah. While you're correcting yourself there, the short throw was just the distance. That wasn't the latency, right?
Yeah. Short throw was basically you could put the projector very close to the screen and still get 120 inches or whatever you're trying to get. And those typically are the ones that have low latency and they're ideal for gaming. Now, the far projection, it is harder to get. You normally see something around like 16 to 30 something seconds in latency is typical. And then anything that's on a short throw, you might see 2 to 5.
And so to put that into perspective, that latency is around the same type of input latency that we had when we were playing the Luna.
Yeah, for sure.
And so that was a big problem for me, even on like a driving game.
Right.
Yeah. And that's the thing is if you are ever doing a home projection system, latency is the number one if you're wanting to play games on it. And it is hard. It can be hard to find. Now, I do know that the market's changing to laser projection. And I understand that that's going to be a good change in that market whenever we get there. But it's very expensive at the moment.
So is the latency supposed to be improved with that?
Yeah, from my understanding, the coloration, the replacement and maintenance, and the latency is supposed to be a lot better.
So maybe, it didn't say in these articles, but maybe, you know, these South Korean theaters that were doing this, maybe they've got like some I'm sure they're state-of-the-art, but like state-of-the-art.
It could. Yeah, and I'm sure that there's a few smaller theater companies in the U.S. that are doing it. Probably not as expansive as maybe some of those South Korean ones or some of the larger theater groups.
I think what you're doing may depend on that too. So like if you were trying to play a game competitive but have an audience watch you, you would do kind of like how they do with the big like esports thing. So you'll play in your computer and just have it projected up on the screen for everybody else to play. That could be there. And on the flip of it though, the other games that don't require a whole lot of latency, like playing Resident Evil 7 and have a crowd with it, that would have been awesome. That could be really cool. Cause that's something everybody can sit in and woohoo, you know, get scared over.
Yeah. I would love to try this. I saw in the article that Malco Theaters is one U.S. chain that was doing this. I've never heard of that chain, but apparently they're in Arkansas, Kentucky, Louisiana, Mississippi, Missouri, and Tennessee.
Yeah, it's a smaller one. I've been to a Malco Theater before.
Oh, you have?
Mm-hmm, in Arkansas. There's, I think here, I forget, it's a small town that has one around here.
Huh. Yeah, so, I mean, I would love to try this. It'd be pretty cool. What I thought was interesting, well, there was a stark contrast. I don't know if y'all did the math. They had, like, some revenue numbers for the different theaters. And in South Korea, a movie ticket was, like, $12, right? Yeah, so they charge like $12 for a movie ticket, and I figured it up. I think it was like groups of three or four people, right, was what you could rent it out for. So if you like extrapolated that out, it's $11.25 an hour per person before 6 o'clock. And if you think about a 2-hour movie, that's $24 versus $12. So they're actually, I mean, I'm sure people aren't able to order, I don't know if they're able to order popcorn and drinks and all that stuff, but they're actually making more money this way. And then after 6 p.m. in the South Korean market, it comes out to be $33.75 an hour. So it's like 66 wow. bucks, yeah, for like a movie per person. Now, the Malco theaters, they were not doing too hot. So for them, it came out to be $2.50 an hour. Cause I think you could rent out, what is it, like 20 people or something like that?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's like their standard. So if you look at their website, that's their standard, like private showing fee, I think.
Oh.
So it's the same. It's the same, depending on movie that you choose that you want to watch. It's the same as like renting it out for a private viewing. It's like the same price. It's just you can then bring your gaming system and that kind of thing. But of course, like you can't really play like 20 people on one console. So like that's not going to, you know, there's only going to be three or four people at a time. So if you have 20 people coming, it's going to be like a rotation and stuff like that.
You can just have everybody like... Well, when it's out, you could have everybody bring their Switch, and then you could all play a Fall Guys.
Yeah, there we go.
I don't know. I think there's a lot of cool things. Like, if it stuck around long enough, I bet there's things that would show up to help that situation actually work better.
Oh, I'm sure. Technology can solve a lot of the latency issues and things like that. Or, you know, even special rooms, special, like, you know, projection rooms that they could start opening in some of the theaters, you know, repurpose some of the space.
Yeah, I would love, like I said, I would love to play a cinematic game and rent out a theater for a couple hours and play that. It would be really cool.
Be a fun, like, birthday activity or something, you know?
Yeah.
So, since we're on the topic of video games and theaters, there has been a decent amount of video games becoming movies, adaptations, or TV series. And some of them pretty cool. I'm actually excited about. Have you guys heard much on them?
Just bits and pieces. You want to give us a rundown of the big ones that are kind of been popular, like that are in the news right now?
Yeah, the ones that I've recently heard of has been Borderlands, Metal Gear Solid, and The Last of Us. And there's been talks for a long time on Uncharted. I know that's been kind of coming back and forth. I think that's still in production and going. But the Borderlands one was interesting. So they picked Jack Black to play Claptrap, which if you're familiar with Borderlands, that's the little robot that's mouthy. I thought that was cool. That was like a perfect fit. Jamie Lee Curtis is supposed to play Tanner, which is a doctor that's kind of insane on the Pandora planet. And the one that I kind of got a little off on was they picked Kevin Hart to play Roland. And if you've played Borderlands before, they don't exactly match up in characteristics, in my opinion.
Do you think it's like a money grab? Do you feel like it's one of those?
I guess so, because like Roland wasn't really like a comedy character, you know what I mean? And Kevin Hart just kind of fits the comedy.
Yeah, he's not really going serious.
Which one's Roland? Is Roland a protagonist, or is he? I thought he was one of the bad guys.
No, he's one of the good guys.
Oh, okay.
Remember, he's in the second one, and he's kind of leading the whole rebellion kind of thing. And no.
No, I don't remember. Kevin Hart, he did good in Jumanji, so maybe they decided to throw him over here into Borderlands. I mean, even if their kind of like personality types don't really match, I think that he's always like a pretty good actor, and he's funny. So, I mean, maybe they're just kind of changing the character a little bit to a character that is more in line with Kevin Hart, you know, just to kind of anchor the movie.
Yeah, and I really like Kevin Hart. I don't have any beef with him as an actor. Actually, I really like his stuff. But I was thinking, like, if it was me casting, I would have went, like, after Terry Crews or something like that.
Yeah, but Terry Crews is going to be... what was that character in Overwatch? The Black Fist, or I stopped playing it.
Doomfist.
Yeah. Yeah. Terry Crews would be Doomfist or something.
Yeah. I could see that. That's a lot bulkier.
What I thought was really interesting about this Borderlands news, because I hadn't seen anything about it, is that Eli Roth is going to be the director.
Yeah.
which he does like a ton of, you know, horror and like really dark and gritty kind of movies. And I think like he's a great director for Borderlands, because Borderlands is kind of like sadistic, but in a funny way.
Yeah.
And so I think I'm kind of excited just because I see Eli Roth as the director.
Yeah, it's definitely a dark comedy. If you really think about what they do in the game and the stuff that they say, it's definitely a dark comedy. So on the Metal Gear part, which is the one I'm excited about, but I'm also a little limited on, I guess, getting too much excitement, because I don't think, actually, you and I talked about it before. I don't know if Hideo Kojima is actually part of this at all, but
yeah, I know I had seen on IMDb. I didn't really see anything in the Deadline article that you sent about it. So I don't know if maybe he's either just tossing him a credit, or I think on IMDb I saw him as an executive producer, which could just be them giving him a title credit, and that's about it. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Well, I think the thing is like, first off, Oscar Isaac's playing Snake. I'm cool with that. I think that's an awesome pick. I think that's great. I think the thing that'll be interesting is, and this is with all video game adaptations, is when you have a story that the progression is based off of beating multiple bosses, you know, those people, those interactions. Let's face it, any superhero movie that we've seen that's had multiple villains in it never really went well, because there's not enough time.
Right. Well, I mean, I think in a Metal Gear style, like in a Metal Gear game, or sorry, in a Metal Gear movie, they could just make some of them like minor baddies, you know what I mean? And then have like the big baddie be like the main villain in the movie. I'm really scared about Metal Gear because it is my favorite game franchise, period. I think that Oscar Isaac he's a good actor, and I think he could probably play the part, but this whole project in general just kind of makes me really scared that it's going to be like a Doom or a Super Mario Brothers and just ruin it.
Yeah. And it is one of those, like, for people who play video games, especially with storylines like this, you get so like immersed in them and you want to share them with other people, but there's a lot of other people who don't play video games or they're not interested to spend that time. So when this stuff happens, you get excited because you're like, oh, other people are going to know the story too, and they're going to experience it. So you hope it's as good as the game, at least.
Yeah. I think it's a similar risk to taking a book and adapting it to a movie. Someone already spent the time to create this story, and now you, for like one format, that not everything translates, right? Like,
yeah,
like your perfect example is that multiple bosses type scenario where that doesn't translate 100%, and so you have to cut corners, you have to make changes, which ultimately changes the storyline. So it's definitely a risk for sure.
Yeah.
See, I mean, look at something like Lord of the Rings, okay? All of the characters that are in that game, I think they could do something with Metal Gear where they're, I mean, like the Metal Gear Solid, all right? There's Vulcan Raven, there's Psycho Mantis, there's Revolver Ocelot, there's
Sniper Wolf.
Sniper Wolf. There's a whole slate of characters. Compared to Lord of the Rings, it's just not that much. I mean, cram it in 2 hours? No, but if they made like a group, or what am I looking for here?
Trilogy or epic type?
Yeah, like if they made like a multiple movie, like installment, like franchise, they could do it in a movie. Yeah. Honestly, it's probably something that would be better as like a serial on a streaming service. Because nowadays you can make something that is incredibly in-depth and detailed on a streaming service by making 1 hour episodes across 10 episodes in a season. And that's like a 10 hour movie. That's just something you can't do in movies anymore.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And you can't at all in movies. And like, there's so many streaming services. People want content, right? People want good quality content. And so getting it out there, I feel like there's definitely, you know, the appetite for it. So be interesting. And maybe that'll come after, you know, similar to like the Marvel universe and the Star Wars universe, where it's like they start with the movie and, you know, trickle down into something like that.
Yeah. And I would clarify too, that it is Metal Gear Solid is the name of what they're doing. So I don't think Zanzibar and all that stuff before, just Metal Gear, Gray Fox, all that's going to be explored yet. But they don't exactly put any hints out there yet either that it's Shadow Moses. So we don't really know where they're going with the story arc yet.
Yeah. I mean, I think it really depends on the amount of involvement of Hideo Kojima. Cause I mean, they could just take the characters and just like, you know, make it like, Commando or something, you know, like they could just really botch it. There's so much you can do with Metal Gear.
Yeah.
I didn't know this. I might even cut this, but I just want to talk about it. I didn't know Oscar Isaac was going to be Moon Knight in Marvel's Moon Knight.
Oh.
And if you've never heard of Moon Knight, that's like Marvel's ghetto Batman.
Oh, funny.
I didn't know they picked him. I think that'll be cool.
I just like to make fun of the character because it's cheap. I like Batman.
Moon Knight.
I don't know anything about him. Like I said, I'll probably just cut this out, but just bring it up.
Yeah, so the other, we'll come back to one more thing on that, but the other game that they are doing is The Last of Us, and Pedro Pascal from Mandalorian, such as we know him, he's going to play Joel, the main character, and Bella Ramsey, which I know I've seen her face before, but I don't know what she's played in, but she's going to play Ellen.
So when I saw this, I thought like, oh man, why didn't they pick Ellen Page to do the girl in the game? Ellen, I've never played this game, so I honestly don't really know what it's about.
Oh, sorry, her name's Ellie. I forgot that, not Ellen. But I mean, the game is definitely like a, not really, I guess you could say post-apocalyptic in a sense. It's a zombie outbreak in a nutshell, but it's more of a mutational kind of thing. Like they're very messed up looking zombies. It's not like the traditional, like, just here to eat your brains. Instead, it's more like a fungus and they're, you know, they look very deformed. But the premise, not to spoil too much, is that apparently Ellie can't get this virus and they think that she is the solution to fixing the outbreak.
Okay. Well, what I was going to say is I didn't understand why they didn't get Ellen Page. So Ellen Page is now Elliot Page. I didn't understand why, I guess why they didn't cast her, but it turns out like there was a controversy with this game that I didn't know. And the character for this game looks very, very much like Ellen Page. And she did not like have anything to do with this game. It was actually very mad at the studio because they created a character that was very much in her likeness.
Interesting.
Yeah, there was a Souls game, I'm trying to think of what it was called. I don't know. I can't remember, but she did another game that was by the same people that made Heavy Rain. And she was that character at that time. And I could see the resemblance going along, but
I was just going to ask a clarifying question. Now, is this a series or a movie? Because I've seen where it's a series.
This is a series.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Borderlands and The Last of Us, I feel like those are things that could be easily adapted into a movie because there wasn't like pivotal bosses that were changes to the character and what was happening versus like Metal Gear. Every one of those bosses had their very own story, their own lesson, their morals, this thing that kind of connected in with what was going on in society.
They're very developed characters, and it would be a shame for them to just be tossed aside in a movie. You know, by, I mean, like you said, there's no way if they just do a single movie that they can have the entire cast of characters in Metal Gear Solid in a movie and do it any justice.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to kind of come back to was, you know, Borderlands and The Last of Us. I feel like those are things that could be easily adapted into a movie because there wasn't like pivotal bosses that were changes to the character and what was happening versus like Metal Gear. Every one of those bosses had their very own story, their own lesson, their morals, this thing that kind of connected in with what was going on in society. And the rest of them, they're still very much very organic to what's happening in development.
Yeah. So, I mean, maybe they do it as a franchise and they do like multiple episodes, like a Star Wars thing, where, you know, this one is like Psycho Mantis, and maybe they develop the characters even more, you know, they could do some really cool things. So that could be exciting. What I'm really upset about is that you skipped over Uncharted.
Yeah. So Uncharted has been a little bit rolling around for quite a while, but Tom Holland is supposed to play Nathan Drake, which is the main character. And
that's what I'm upset about.
He's not really like a...
Tom Holland is the worst Nathan Drake I've ever heard pitched in my life. If you don't know who Nathan Drake is, his character is basically Nathan Fillion from Firefly.
He's definitely more like... Tom Holland is really young to play Nathan Drake. I don't know. I don't know where they were going with that. And honestly, Mark Wahlberg is playing Sullivan, the old guy that was with Nathan Drake. I don't know.
So maybe they're doing a like Genesis story. That can be my only guess, is like they're doing like a young Uncharted, like young Indiana Jones, but with Tom Holland. And say hello to your mother for me.
Yeah, I really don't know. Ever since I heard that Tom Holland was playing that character, I was like, well, maybe this is another doo-doo adaptation.
I don't know. Tom Holland is a fantastic actor, but
he is
not who I would ever have picked for Uncharted. Nathan Fillion is the number one pick.
Well, I mean, like, that's the thing that sucks, is like a lot of these adaptations for video games to movies have great people. I liked Mark Wahlberg trying to play Max Payne. I like Carl Urban in The Rock a lot, but Doom was not that great. I like Tomb Raider. I like Angelina Jolie, but Tomb Raider wasn't that great. It's always failed. They've had good actors and good roles. There's the storytelling is what's always sucked.
It's the writing. Yeah, I think that they try to like they Hollywood takes a good property and then decides that they can just attach a big name to it, and but doesn't really focus on the writing. They don't pay the writers what they need, or maybe the writers don't understand the source material like they should, and so the product that gets developed is just not that great, not as good as it could be.
Well, yeah, and you know, I don't know if you guys seen that Red Band trailer that came out for the new Mortal Kombat, but that's looking good.
It looks real good.
Yeah, I think they're finally, maybe because they've already done their live action short series that they did several years back, and they're getting the hang of it, but this looks like they've got the hang of it. Yeah, and that's probably just Warner Brother getting the hang of it. I mean, that's really the only way I know to think of it.
Yeah, I also think that with success of a lot of the series, TV series, and things like Star Wars, right? When you get a good director and some good writers behind it that are taking risks and it pays off. I think it's showing studios, hey, look, no, you can afford to take these risks because A, the longevity of it is much higher if you take the risk and do a good job, because the people will pay money and they will, you know, continue to get into these things, and, you know, the things that you can expand out of it, you know, all the way from merchandising to, you know, gaming, if it's not a game based movie, like there's so many different avenues that it can go, from. So
I can tell you right now, the main character I'm actually excited that they're doing right is Sub-Zero. Although the only character I think that they're doing kind of poo poo is, Kano.
You don't like that guy?
No, it's not the guy. It's they had a little clip where he was shooting the laser out of his eye and it looked kind of corny.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, that could just be like, you know, it's not like the post-production is not ready.
I hope so, because that one looked a little off.
It did look off. So I just watched this too. Yeah, it looks okay. I can see why you're excited about it. And why you're excited about Sub-Zero, because he's basically the Shredder from the original Mortal Kombat. I mean, the original Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, man. I mean, that was when they redesigned his suit to look like Shredder. I was like, oh, yeah, I'm playing as Sub-Zero from now on.
Yeah. So, I mean, it looks pretty good. I don't think it's going to be huge or anything like that. Is this going to like a movie theater, or is it going to be on HBO Max?
Both.
Okay, so I think it'll do good like on a streaming service, but I'm pretty sure this would fail miserably in the box office.
Oh yeah, nobody's really paying attention to it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it looks okay. Besides the Kano like eye laser that you were just talking about, I think it looks like the special effects look better than any Mortal Kombat that we've seen. And it has a lot of special effects in it. Goro didn't look too good. He looked like a World of Warcraft or a Warcraft character from the Warcraft movie. But but yeah, I mean, it's okay.
I mean, like, it's a fighting game turning into a movie. And there again, there's multiple villains. There's a lot of stuff going on. So you don't expect that one to come out as a masterpiece, but it does look a lot better than what they've been doing. And it looks like it'll be fun to watch.
Yeah, it'll probably be a fun to watch movie. I'll definitely check it out on HBO. But yeah.
But see, that's okay. But when you see like Metal Gear Solid, like you don't want that to be a fun to watch. You want that to be a thriller or
right, because the source material has such a good story. Mortal Kombat, right, like you said, is a fighting game. It does have some of a story that they've added over time, but it seems like every iteration of like a Mortal Kombat movie, they kind of reinvent the story. Like on the trailer for this one, it was like people were like chosen and over generations to be fighting this tournament and stuff like that. And
which that's the same
generations though, like ancient generations.
Oh no.
Yeah. Cause it made me seem like there was like archaeological like findings that showed a tournament. I don't know. It was just a trailer. So maybe I misread it, but anyway.
Well, yeah. So, I mean, I think that'll be neat. But on that note, since we're talking about video game to movie adaptations, wanted to do something a little bit different this week and get some opinions and some whys. And I think that this one's actually a really good topic of what we feel are top three that we would take from a video game into a movie.
Yeah, let's add to this and kind of like criticize each other and pick at each other's choices if we don't agree with them.
Ooh, I like it. Let's get snarky.
Oh man.
Well, I could volunteer to go to the gauntlet first, I guess.
Let's do this in like a round table. So let's start for like the lowest pick and move around and then move up until we get to number one.
So I think my lowest then would be Unreal Tournament as a movie. But here, hold on, before you get all
you got to give me your pitch. You got to give me your pitch. Here's,
okay.
Explain
do
it.
Do you remember Running Man? Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Yeah.
It's like that kind of like tournament where you're fighting to the death. Right.
So like a survive. Mortal Kombat or something.
Not a Mortal Kombat. Yeah, exactly.
With guns.
Literally the words Mortal Kombat. Imagine something like that, but with like the maps of Unreal Tournament, not just like this one place where this is taking, you know, where this is happening, but like multiple, like you got to level up, you like work your way through these ranks and there's like maybe I mean, you could make it space. So it's like, oh, you go to this planet. Like, you go crazy with this, right? You go real crazy with this.
I'm pretty sure you could work in Hollywood, Ryan.
I think I could.
Yeah. You're trying to sell a turd right now.
Is it a turd? No, this is totally one of those, like, it's a type of Mortal Kombat. Like, again, this is why it's my lowest choice here. But I loved the game as a kid. You know, we would play, you know, have LAN parties and play this all the time because it was just like exhilarating and fun. And yeah, like you just have a lot of fun. And, you know, I think, again, there's not going to be a deep story. Like, that's not the point of this at all.
Yeah.
It's literally like, hey, we picked this person to, you know, because they were bold and they were strong and they, you know, had nothing to lose. And so we dropped them in the middle of this tournament. You know, maybe they could be the underdog, whatever. And they just rank up and at the end they win, you know, like that kind of thing.
So they actually rank up. So you're talking about like mixing the Kevin Hart Jumanji with Adrian right. Brody's Predators is what I'm hearing.
Hey,
I mean, yeah, you could.
Well, Adrian Brody's Predators is a good movie, but we have to put it in the context that Ryan wants, where you're fighting on an alien planet, right?
You could.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you have to. This could be post-apocalyptic, where there's, you know, maybe
alligator people districts running around. There's
districts. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, the U.S., the United States, or the world is split up into different regions. And you get transported to these different regions. You know, there's so many possibilities here.
Yeah, and you try to conquer a different region, and the way you conquer it is you carry a flag around.
Yeah, you could. That's it, right there. You like, dude, you get it. You want to be a producer on this?
You got a crossover already because Epic did their thing with Gears of War and putting their Gears of War characters in there.
See?
So there you go.
There
All
we
needs
go.
A Gears of War movie.
Done.
Next. All right, Adam.
Ooh, my lowest. Okay, I'd say my lowest would probably be Darksiders. So, if you've not played Darksiders before, it's about a war between heaven and hell, and the four horsemen are obviously there to reset the balance. And what happens in this game is every horseman has their own game and they're all in different chronological orders. And there's a big conspiracy happening where basically someone, one of the angels actually sets off the apocalypse on purpose, but then blames it on the horsemen, mainly war. And he is prosecuted for it. And the rest of the brothers and sisters are trying to free him of basically being framed. I see that as a good trilogy.
I could see that being a decent story.
Would Keanu Reeves be in this and, like, you know?
Yeah, he could play Death.
He could play Death or
the Baba Yaga.
Yeah, he could play Death. That's
I mean, this feels like his kind of movie, right? Like, he does these kind of things all the time where it's, you know, sci-fi. But also, like, spiritual with, like, mix of, you know, philosophy.
I'd be down for it because anything that's like a battle of heaven and hell, like, it just sucks me in. I don't understand
Same
why,
here.
But anything's like angels and demons, I am in.
Yeah, like the other Keanu Reeves movie, Constantine, like, that sucked me in, too. Yeah, I'm all about that, yeah. But this one, like, I just think it would be very CG heavy, and that would be the thing that would scare the hell out of me of it actually being delivered right. But there's definitely some really deep story they could run on in that one. But that's my lowest one.
But yeah, I think the CG thing always worries me about different things because you would have to be CG heavy with something like this. Like that would
be like World of Warcraft.
Yeah, like it would be very difficult to do something like any kind of like epic fantasy. You know,
yeah,
like Lord of the Rings.
Yeah,
the thing is like Lord of the Rings didn't have like over the top animated characters for their main characters. Versus like these are, they could actually dumb it down where maybe it wouldn't have to be so CG. Okay, do some practical arts, damn it, and it'll be great.
All right. So my third pick, I actually had trouble with this in general at first. But I think my lowest third, my third pick, my lowest pick would be Cyberpunk 2077. Because there's so much you could do with that game, right? I mean, just the setting in itself is Blade Runner type setting. I haven't played too much of it. I still need to get into it. But, I mean, even just what I've played, like the characters in it are really developed and very neat. And CD Projekt Red, they did The Witcher. Witcher's doing good on Netflix. So, you know, let's get a sci-fi version of The Witcher out on Netflix, Cyberpunk 2077 series.
Yeah, it kind of changes the record of what you're doing normally with Cyberpunk, with all the anesthetics and saying more of like, okay, is cyber or is androids and stuff really considered people? The things of like what Blade Runner explores versus it's more like, hey, this is a mortality. You know, where's your soul really go at the end of this? And I don't know. Yeah, I could see that really rolling through.
Yeah, I haven't played or done a lot of, you know, research on that, but I could, that kind of story definitely resonates with me. I just would be afraid that it would be a Blade Runner ripoff, right? Like, or, you know, that style of like a Philip K. Dick novel, or, you know, and look, like that's where everyone gets their inspiration. Totally. Well, right.
I mean, from what I've played of the game, it's like Grand Theft Auto, but Blade Runner. So, okay. I mean, you could do, you could do whatever you wanted with the story, but I think it's the setting and the city in particular, that would make it pretty interesting.
So do you feel like you could just totally write a new story and just be the setting in like that kind of atmosphere and be fine?
I think so. I mean, maybe have the main character, right? Where you are, you know, you just get out of prison, or isn't that what happens? Does he just get out of prison or something? And
well, there's three different arcs.
Oh, right. Yeah. So yeah, you could, you know, pick one of the story arcs and then kind of go with it. But all right, so Ryan, your number two pick. Let's see if you can do better than Unreal Tournament.
Yeah, so my, oh my gosh, my number two, wow, I can't believe you. It would be fun, and you know it. No, my number two would be Diablo. So, because I think this would make a very good trilogy, or even larger, with, for one, like the story depth and where you can go with it, and it's an epic tale. Similar to Lord of the Rings, so I would, you know, like in that vein is kind of where I would go with it. But not make it like we're a fellowship, you know, and we're doing these quests and stuff like that. Make it a bit different, so that it's not just like a, oh, hey, look, it's Lord of the Rings, but they're going down to hell and and that kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that's a perfect game. That, like that, I think that would be fantastic because the game itself, maybe, I mean, I guess you could do a movie. I'm kind of considering like movie and like Netflix style, like mini series, serial, kind of the same thing, because there are so many demons, right? That could be in a, like a mini series. The main characters are just archetypes. So you can fill that role in with any kind of personality you want. But then there are still some like solid characters like Deckard Cain. I think it would be fantastic. Like Deckard Cain like sends these, you know, warriors out to, you know, stop hell. I mean, if you've seen any of the Castlevania on Netflix, it is fantastic.
Yeah.
Yes. So I think if they did like a Diablo style like that, it could be really cool.
So there are talks. And if you look for, there's some older articles that there has been talks of making this like a Netflix series. So I think it's getting there. It's just, it's probably, you know, getting the right people together at the right time and funding and like that kind of thing. I think this would be great. I think this would be really, really good.
Yeah, I think if they did Netflix series first for some of these individual characters and just kind of build it up and then created like the multi-cinematic movies to go through, because you could even do stories on just like some of the people that are living in the villages whenever all this happened.
Oh, totally.
And yeah, like there's so many angles you could play this to make it great.
Yeah, yeah. So Diablo 3, or Diablo, good pick. Maybe at the end we decide what our like overall top three is.
I like it.
Yeah.
All right, Adam. Or wait, did you? Yeah. Yeah, Adam, what do you got? Number two.
All right, my number two. You guys probably didn't play it, so this one's going to be interesting, but Legacy of Kain.
I did play like a minute of that. Yeah, that's a really cool game. Again, with the like souls and the demons.
Yeah, this is more vampires, though. So this is basically with an evolution of what happens with the vampires and where they go, especially whenever you get into like the Soul Reaver series. And Raziel, one of the main characters, you know, he's the first to evolve and get wings, and Kain breaks his wings and throws him out to die. But then it comes into the story. It's a really big twist where...
Don't spoil it.
Kain. Yeah, yeah. I won't, like, spoil it, but there's so much that happens between when Kain, the main character, was a vampire to when in Soul Reaver he's the villain, and what happens with fate and time travel and things of that nature. It's very interesting.
Yeah, I mean, Unfortunately, I haven't played the game, so I don't really have a lot to say. That's like one of the games that I have had intentions of playing, and it's been on my list forever, and I still plan on playing. So I'm going to, without even playing it, but just knowing what I know of the game, I'm going to say, okay, yeah, that could be good.
And I will just say, I'd watch it because it sounds cool, but I've never played the games.
Well, and the fanboy on me also, it's a story that never was finished.
Mm, you have a fanboy on you?
Yeah, you better get him off.
What? I mean, like, they made the last game on the Xbox, and studio productions, shit like that happened, and they weren't able to actually finish the story. So, and the last game was a cliffhanger.
Oh, that sucks.
So do you want them to wrap it up with the movie, or would it just, like,
yeah.
Okay, there you go.
Finish the story. It'd be cool.
Oh, man. So I can't play these games then because I'm going to want to finish the story. Let me know when they finish the story, and then I'll play the 4K Ultra HD Remastered on the Switch Pro Extreme.
It'll be like 8K by then, like every home.
We're looking at you, Square Enix.
So, yeah, my number two, I kind of switched my number two and my number three. I didn't know what to pick. So I initially put Castlevania, right? But there's a Castlevania Netflix series. But I was thinking like a Castlevania movie, but more along the lines of like Symphony of the Night and not the type of characters that are in the Netflix special or like the Netflix series.
Yeah.
But if you don't want to accept that because there's already an adaptation of it, then I was going to say Zelda, which there was almost an adaptation of it. But I think, yeah, I mean, I really think Zelda could be really cool. And you know what? Don't make it a live action movie. Make it an animated Zelda movie.
What style of animation?
We go anime, of course.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it could be really cool. Not, I mean, like, you know, in the Miyazaki style of animation, like a Zelda Miyazaki type game, I think would be really cool. Or movie could be really cool.
See, I think there again, I don't know if they're going to explore this, but Netflix, these people need to really think about this. But they could, I've thought about this already when they talked about doing the adaptation on Netflix. It's like, wow, they could really make this neat. But if they did a series and they didn't call it Zelda and it was just, you know, under the wraps of what it really was, but it was just a series of them really getting ready and dealing with, you know, smaller bad guys who are trying to resurrect Ganon, but you don't know that it's Ganon. And then at the end of it, they're like, oh, here's Link. And then the movies, goes into Link's story and trying to take down Ganon.
Yeah, that would be really hard to do without spoiling it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Maybe that's what they were trying to do, and that's why Nintendo canceled the project, because it was announced that it was Zelda all along.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. But that would have been really neat. A surprise hit for a theater.
I'm down with that, for sure. I think that would be real good.
All right, Ryan, moving along.
Number one?
You're number one. You did pretty good with Diablo. You failed us terribly with Unreal Tournament.
How the heck did I fail?
Let's see if you can train in a positive direction. What's your number one?
My number one, because it needs to be done. It needs to happen. It's Super Mario Brothers. There needs to be a good movie. Like a good movie.
All right.
To redeem. No, that's fine. I don't even care. These are my opinions, and I'm sticking by them. I don't even care. Here's why.
Tom Holland as Luigi.
Yeah, there you go. Well, obviously. Listen. Okay, so. I can't believe I have to defend myself on this. After this should be a no-brainer. This is just a fun movie, right? Family movie. You could, or you go dark with it. I think there's a few different ways you can go.
John Leguizamo as Luigi.
Listen. He could do
Benicio del Toro as Mario.
Okay, there you go. Benicio del Toro is Mario.
All right, Ron.
Listen.
Give it to us.
Okay. So I think it could be like either a fun family movie where, you know, similar to the old series. Did you ever watch that? That had like...
The Wrestler.
The Wrestler, yes, exactly.
It was like live action that would cut to animation. The animated episode. Yeah,
like the world and stuff like that would be animated.
You mean like the cartoon?
Exactly.
Yeah, it was
goes the into the cartoon.
That's what he's talking about. It's the cartoon.
Yeah. But like there was always at the beginning live action and then... Anyway, I think it could be a fun family thing to where it's either fully animated, you could do it, you know, in whatever, you know, just fun style that you could do. Probably not too CG heavy. I wouldn't personally appreciate that. But like that could be a fun adaptation that isn't this weird storyline that the movie back in the 90s gave us of these weird turtle dragon dinosaur thingamajigs, you know, like I could picture those little tiny heads in my nightmares. Like it was so weird.
Hey, the toys for that movie were really cool though.
I mean, that's fine. And gosh, anyway, it needs to be redeemed. You could also go more dark, which I think that might have been what they were trying to do with it, and that's why it didn't go so well. And you could go more dark with it if you wanted, but I think it should be fun. I think it should have that, like, it's a fun game. Like, yeah, sure, it has its scary moments, but that's that style, right? Like, it's an adventure. Like, you're there to save a princess. There's going to be bad guys trying to get you. That's going to happen. But it's all in good fun.
I think a CG movie, like if they did a CG movie, I think that would be fun. And if they did like a series for like Luigi's Mansion.
Oh, Luigi's Mansion would be very cool. Super Mario Brothers movie, though.
John Leguizamo voices Luigi. Did you ever see him in Spawn, though? Like you could go that dark with it. Anyway.
Oh, man, Ryan.
Yeah, that's fine.
You
know what?
Disappointed
fine.
Me. No.
I don't even care. What?
Disappointing.
It's not like this has any like bearing on life. This isn't actually going to happen. If it does, however, we want money. The idea started here, and it's in record.
Okay, so Adam, number one. Let's see if you can do better than Ghostbusters. Oh, shit. Let's see if you can do better than Super Mario Brothers.
How dare you?
Ghostbusters? Where'd that even come from?
I don't know. I'm tired.
He's got it on his brain.
My number one that I think would be really interesting, and it's mainly just because I'd like to share the story, because there's not as many people who've played it that I know anyway, is Oddworld.
Of course. Yep. Your favorite game.
Yeah, I mean... It's just one of those stories that really resonates, especially growing up and what's happened with our society and the way that we kind of grow up into our, you know, capitalistic, corporate environments. There's just so much that happens in it. And I think it would be so cool to share that story, because like the cinematics of it would be awesome, but then the subtle conversation would be really neat to share.
That's dumb, blah blah blah. I'm just kidding. I was just being mean, but I'm kidding.
Yeah, no, I think Oddworld, I think that could be pretty good. Yeah, definitely would have to be some good CG, Avatar level.
Yeah, that would be the thing that I think would be its death, is just how much it would lean on there again, just how fanatical the characters and stuff are.
Oh, who's the dude that plays Gollum? He's got to play Abe.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but what... Okay, hear me out on this. What if you did it Tim Burton style? Claymation? That kind of thing.
I have a friend, Ellen, actually mentioned that to me. I was talking... earlier today, I think, on that, and that's exactly what was suggested. Claymation stop motion would be pretty cool.
Yeah, I think it would as well.
See, that's another way you could go. And
wasn't that how the original game was filmed? The animations for it?
I don't think so. But I could be wrong. Maybe they did. I don't think so though.
What were you saying, Ryan?
I was just saying it's another way to go. I think that adds, like, there's always a quirkiness to it, right? Especially with like Tim Burton being behind it. There's always that like darkness and quirky, kind of makes you feel uneasy at times because it's just a little off. I feel like that would be, you know, a good medium for that type of movie, or, you know, whatever. And I think for me personally, I think that stop motion ages better than like CG heavy movies.
Yeah. And I think one of the things that really I liked about it was it's funny and it's dark, but Abe is just kind of like a normal person, the everyday person just working the grind, you know, and he's the one that's put into the situation and how he grows. And I don't know. I just think that it's just a cool story.
Yep, I agree. All right, so my number one, I'm picked before you sent us the list of movies. And so I originally picked Metal Gear because I didn't realize that Metal Gear was going to be a movie. Or I had forgotten, I guess. So, yeah, I mean, Metal Gear... if they do it right, could be fantastic, because when someone thinks about a cinematic game, 9 times out of 10, you know, Metal Gear or, anything Hideo Kojima. I mean, he's a fantastic like game director, game creator. So if we don't pick Metal Gear, because that's already going to be a thing, Death Stranding, I mean, that game is just completely cinematic. And that
Zone of the Enders.
There's an anime of that, actually. Or at least an anime movie, I believe. But Yeah, I mean, you know, they already made, technically they already made a Death Stranding game. It was called The Postman with Kevin Costner. It was a big, big movie in the 90s.
Don't you hate on Kevin Costner?
Because, Ryan, if you don't know, in Death Stranding, you deliver mail. Like, that's what you do in a post-apocalyptic world.
I mean, that's what I would do, probably.
Yeah. So, yeah, Death Stranding. I still have not beat that game, and it's just amazing. The visuals, the story. Hideo Kojima. Okay. So we've got all of our top threes. Let's go through, in no particular order, I guess. Let's go through each person's top three and pick the best out of it. And then we'll have our top threes for the entire group. All right, so let's start with Ryan.
So obviously Super Mario.
So we've got Super Mario Brothers, Unreal Tournament, and Diablo. I'm going to vote Diablo here.
No, I would too, and that's fine. You know, I wanted to mix it up.
That's a no-brainer.
Here's the thing. Again, to defend my choices, I knew you guys were going to go like all cinematic, like, oh my gosh, this could be like the, like, oh, these could be those real thinker pieces. And I wanted to have some fun because that's part of it too.
Ryan's like,
that's part of
it. What if we made a movie out of Tetris?
Dude, they tried to do that. Pixels or whatever. Remember that?
I didn't see that.
Freaking Adam Sandler. Love Adam Sandler. Ah, that bombed.
Yeah, I didn't watch that one.
All right, so we've got Diablo locked in from Adam's picks. We have, what do we have? Darksiders,
Legacy of Kain, Oddworld.
Yeah, I'm going to have to pick. See, I think the Oddworld would just, it would be so hard to do, like you said. But I think story-wise, like, it could be the best. What do you think, Ryan? What's your pick?
Yeah, I'm leaning Oddworld as well. Like I said, because of, like, if you did stop motion, or there's just so many ways you could do it, I think. And if you're done right, you're right. The story is good. It's just how do you present that visually, I think, is the only difficult part. But I think if you did it really well, it would be fantastic.
It just dawned on me. I'm going to derail the conversation. You know who could make an awesome Mario movie? Pixar.
Yeah.
They could nail the animation.
Yeah.
All right, Adam. So, obviously, Oddworld?
Well, I didn't want to pick my own. But, yeah, I think it would have been a tie between Darksiders and Oddworld.
Yeah, okay. I thought we had Ryan pick his, so.
It's fine. I think we... So long ago.
All right, so now we're to my picks. We've got, I'm going to say Death Stranding just to make it different. Death Stranding, Cyberpunk, and Zelda.
That's Zelda for me. I just think that could be really cool. And there again, that's another thing that's close to my heart.
I think for the sheer nostalgia, probably Zelda. Oh, man. But it is one that I think the risk is higher than the others. The risk of like really just blowing it and it being garbage, and then you never want to touch it again.
Yeah, like a Super Mario Brothers movie.
Yeah, and I think that's what's happened. I really do.
Yeah, because Death Stranding could be like twisted into a horror movie almost.
Yeah, Death Stranding could be fantastic. Directed by Guillermo del Toro.
Yeah. Actually.
All right. So it sounds like Zelda. So our top three, Diversion's top three picks of game to movie / what, series adaptations are in no particular order. Zelda, Oddworld, and Diablo. I think I'm most excited about Diablo in all three of those, honestly. You didn't make up for it in quantity, Ryan, but you got the quantity or quality part. Shit, I can't even say it.
You can't even say words. I've been talking for ages.
I think that's going to do it for us this week. So say goodbye, everybody.
Bye. Love you.
Oh, meow. See you guys later. Please don't hate me.
Thanks for listening. Go to diversion.fm to subscribe and listen weekly in your podcast player of choice. If you like the show, share it with a friend. Thanks again, and see you next week.